and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey.
And I'm your co-host, Sarah.
And our first story today, this has been sort of captivating, I think, people's attention a lot, is the group of boys in Thailand who are stuck in the cave. It feels a lot like, and I think this might actually have been before I was born, the little girl who got stuck in the well or whatever.
Jessica.
And that somehow was this big, big story. I was like, really? Okay, I mean, you're not there, and you would think this would be a more local thing, but I guess children and
well, think about the minors trapped in Chile too. Recently. I mean, it's one of those things that
survival situations.
Yeah, captures people's attention, and you root for them. You know, right. You want there to be a happy outcome.
And so long as you have the actual time, and it's not this already happened, and we know what's going to happen,
right?
Because I feel like if this had happened in one fell swoop, it wouldn't have been a big story. But anyway, so a group of boys, a soccer team, and their coach has been trapped in Thailand for, I don't even remember how many days now. 10+, more than 10, definitely. And at first, they couldn't even find them. They weren't sure where they were because we knew they had gone into the cave, and then it had rained a lot, so parts of the cave had flooded, so they couldn't come back out the way they went in.
Quick question, it's a soccer team. Why did they go in a cave?
As part of a sort of team building exercise.
They did some team building. Oh, my goodness.
Well, no. So they had been in
I just mean if you're trapped with your teammates for 10+ days, they did some team building.
Well, see,
I'm not trying to make light of it, but holy buckets.
My first thing when I heard about this was I didn't want it to be like the, was it Argentinian football team or whatever that had the plane crash?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what?
Football is in soccer for us, you know, but football for the rest of y'all.
Yes. So thankfully, it's not that. We did manage to find them after a few days. Divers kept exploring different parts of the cave. And so when they were found, it's like, oh, okay, good. Oh, they've been rescued. Oh, everything's safe. No, that's not actually quite the case right now because it's difficult to get them out.
Okay.
And I think this is beyond the whole we get stuck on these stories of people in stuck places is the whole wait, why can't we get them out thing.
Oh, there's so many reasons. I mean, it's so complicated.
It is.
Have they been able to get supplies to them by chance?
They have, yes. So interestingly, they've actually managed to get a 4-month supply of food to them.
Oh.
Because there is the thought that they might have to wait out the monsoon season, which will be about 4 months before they can come out.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's very complicated because they're far off in the cave from where they entered and where the divers are able to enter them, to the point that I was looking at it, it's something like a 3-mile dive to get to these boys.
Wow.
And the boys mostly, if not all, cannot swim.
Well, 3 miles, even for people who can swim, that would be, I mean, that's a lot.
Yes. But so there's a thought that, you know, oh, well, can't the divers just train the boys to dive, but they can't swim? They are working on that as a possible situation of teaching the boys how to dive. But even then, it's a like 5-hour trip to get back. And even if I was a professional diver, I would be nervous taking a child through a 5-hour trip.
Yeah.
And a diver has died doing this while he was taking supplies boys.
Okay, so there has been a fatality. It wasn't on the soccer team, but one of the rescue people. Oh, wow.
Yeah. He, it seems, I guess, ran out of air because it took them a while even to find the boys. They actually had to, like, break apart part of the entrance because it was too small to get through at first with an air tank. But they thought the boys might be there, and so they somehow, you know, broke apart so they could get through, and then found them, and were very thankful to find that they were all still alive. But they can't, and this was my first thought when I first heard of it, is, can't you just drill down? Again, I was still thinking of what's her name in the well. They can't because they're not exactly sure where they are.
Okay.
So where they are, like, positioned underneath the earth would be a bit hard to figure out from, you know, the surface. But it's also about half a mile down.
Wow.
So it's just like, okay, so that one's out and the diving one's out. So they're now thinking we might still have to teach the boys to dive, but that's problematic not just because it's 3 miles and 5 hours, but also because the boys are getting weaker. Even though we've gotten food supplies to them and we, you know, constantly have people there to sort of help take care of them, the amount of oxygen in the cave is less. So it,
because
I saw that
there are so many of them in there, or why?
Because it can't get in, because the entrance is flooded. And so the amount of oxygen, when I saw this, was about 15%, and normal oxygen levels for people is about 21%.
Oh my goodness.
So they're not getting as much oxygen. They have oxygen tanks, has been one of the things they've delivered to the boys to try and help that. But, you know, the longer they're there, the weaker they're going to get. So we want to get them out, but all the ways to get them out are hard. Yeah. Very complicated.
This is going to be a movie.
Oh, yeah.
It should be a movie. Although, I mean, I feel like it's going to be a movie. I feel like it would be a good movie just as it is, but I feel like they're going to make it something crazy where, you know, they do drill down. I don't know. I'm conflating
it depends on how they get them
about
out
the
now.
Asteroid, you know? Like,
well, I mean, they did make a movie about the Chilean miners, but I'm now thinking, who would they get to play these boys? Because, you know, with the Chilean miners, you had, you know, a few known actors.
Oh, right.
I can't think of any young Asian actors.
Oh, they're out there. We just have to start thinking about it, I bet.
I mean, that the American public would know.
Maybe.
I can't think of any. Like,
well, I mean, I don't
actors.
Watch a lot of TV or movies lately, so, but I don't know. I just feel confident that they're out there.
I mean, there's also that
I'm
complaint
making
about,
that up completely.
I mean, there's also that complaint about, you know, Asians don't come up in movies all that much, period.
Right.
So that's partly why I can't think of any names, because they're not given the opportunity. So I'm half feared that this, if this was a movie, it would be like a Hallmark TV movie or something.
Yeah.
And I want it to, if it's going to be a movie, I want it to be a big thing like the Chilean Miners movie. Like, do an actual full Hollywood movie for this. Once, you know, we actually resolve the story, hopefully in a happy manner,
right,
which we still
right.
haven't gotten to. So right now the plans, there's kind of three in the, I want to say juggling them in the air, because it kind of feels that way of, depending on how the circumstances change, we're preparing for all possibilities, sort of. So they are trying to train the boys to dive, but then they did give them the food for 4 months just in case they have to sit it out.
Right.
But then they're also looking for what's called a chimney, which is a sort of back entrance to the cave where, I guess, like, air comes in.
Yes.
And I'm now thinking of The Last Jedi, and that's totally off just because there was a chimney. Anyways,
okay.
Ignoring that, because Last Jedi is its own sort of problematic. So they are dealing with the problem, and they're still in the monsoon season, and as we're recording this, you know, they're supposed to be getting even more heavy rains. So on the one hand, I don't think we're worried too much about, you know, like, rising water in the cave. They have been pumping water out, and they've managed to pump a bit out, and I think they've gotten the pumps going well enough that they can keep water from rising, but it's not yet a solution of let's pump all the water out, because that takes a lot.
Right.
And again, it's 3 miles just to get to where they are.
And it's monsoon season, correct? So
yes.
I can't imagine that that's helping.
Yes. However, this has become such a big international thing that now the divers who found them originally, I think, are British, although the diver who died was actually Thai himself. And this is being all put on by the Thai Royal Army, Navy? Thai Royal something.
Military branch?
Yes.
Okay.
But now it's come out that evidently Elon Musk has sent engineers to Thailand to help with this situation.
Which is a better use of his time than, you know,
flamethrowers that aren't flamethrowers.
Space carver.
I'm still much more upset about the flamethrower things, just because at least the space car, okay, fine, that's wasteful and we already have enough space junk, but not potentially starting, you know, the hazardous fires that we have every summer.
Well, yeah.
Like you, like those needed help from not a flamethrower, flamethrowers. Yeah, so yeah, better use.
Okay, anyway.
I think of that. But it still seems like it would be, I'm not quite sure how much help they can be. Because it's not like, you know, Thailand doesn't have its own engineers.
Right.
And fine, Elon Musk and his whole thing, and he's considered, you know, this great, great man in science right now. So maybe he is a step above everybody else. I don't know. My coworkers really like him, but I don't follow him that much. But I'm just like, okay, but they have engineers. And even if you, like, can think of a plan, you still have to have the equipment. And again, it's monsoon season, so that makes everything sort of complicated. Because it's not, like, really optimal conditions to do interoperation here. So, yeah. This is, you know, certainly a story that people have been following and will continue to follow, but I don't know that it can have a soon ending. It just kind of feels like even if the decision is made to not wait out the monsoon season, whichever decision you do make wouldn't happen like tomorrow.
Right. Wow. That's crazy. Yeah.
I'm amazed at the boys who, when they found them, were still in like pretty good spirits after being 10 days in a cave. I'm like, no.
and props to the coach. I mean, one sort of, you know, adult person in charge of 12 kids who aren't related and now have to live in this very complicated situation. That makes for some potentially
just Lord of the Flies.
Well, yeah, and you know, like you're upset, you're under stress, you're going to react in different ways. So good job, kids. Good job, adult. I mean, also, good job, everyone, for keeping your sanity.
Well, and also good job to the parents. Because
yes, for raising.
They've definitely been in a stressful situation.
Oh, absolutely.
And they've been, you know, family members have been on site this whole time since we managed to find them. And you can watch some of the videos of them, like, you know, seeing the video of the boys. And you can totally understand their emotions, too. I think one of them, I guess one of the boys was supposed to have a birthday sometime after he went into the cave. And so they've just kept the cake in the fridge until he comes out, which I'm like, okay, you know, that's
great. I mean, unless it's 4 months and then that cake could be interesting.
Get a new cake?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, when they come out.
Shh, don't tell the kid.
We got a cake. Shh, surprise.
It's like, the same cake. Really? No, we didn't replace it.
They would probably have like an entire feast.
I would think so. They would have a massive party.
It would be like, yeah, beyond the birthday cake, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we definitely wish them well, and we'll certainly be following along with the story. But for now, we are going to take a break, so stay tuned.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
And I am shocked. Shocked, I tell you.
At the next story.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Because we complained last week.
I mean, we did. We did complain about it. But I feel we complained because we knew we'd have to talk about it. And it had been going on for so long that it was just like, let's just get it over and done with and stop talking about it.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, when you talk about something for like 3 years before it actually happens.
So anyways, the story for this is LeBron James, who we did complain about previously just because
Not about LeBron himself, personally. I have no problems with Mr. James. Whatever. He does good things.
Just that people kept talking incessantly about where is LeBron James going.
And I live in a house that has ESPN on a lot. So for me, it was like, I don't care.
Does this like affect the State of the Union or something? Like,
well, it's just, you know, 24-hour news cycles. People have to then, you know, they keep talking about it and they keep saying the same thing. And
nothing new has happened, but where is he going?
Exactly.
So anyways, it has been finally settled. Yes. So hopefully after, you know, the next 20 days as they continue to talk about this, it'll be done. LeBron James has decided to go to LA.
He's going to be there for 4 years. They'll talk about it for 4 years.
and win the championship. We'll get there. So LeBron James has decided to go to the LA Lakers, and he signed a 4-year, $154 million deal.
Yes.
Which I didn't even do the math to work that out in my head, just because I was like, I don't care if you signed a like 25-year deal, $154 million?
He actually took a pay cut to go.
That, what?
Yeah. These are things I learned because I am forced to listen to ESPN. Yeah, he would have made more if he'd stayed in Cleveland. But he's going to make so much on, you know, endorsements and everything else he does that he can take that pay cut.
See, and again, I don't
I think it was about $100 million. I think he would have made like $250 million for that same period. If he's, I could be wrong. Sports fans, don't yell at me. I'm just trying to remember what I hear when I wake up in the middle of the night and SportsCenter is playing at 2 a.m.
Well, and sports fans don't yell at me because I thought, you know, that the like high rated players signed like 6-year, 30 something million deals. I have no idea why I thought that, obviously, because clearly very much off.
Well, you may be thinking of football. Football has much different pay scales than basketball. She's looking at me like, I wasn't thinking of football.
I wasn't thinking of it. I don't know. This is way over my head, and I don't watch sports enough to have anywhere near a grasp of pays, except that they're uneven in teams. That part I know. Not everyone gets $154 million on the Lakers.
No, they do not. No.
But so anyways, this was, I think people's opinion is, I won't even say divided. They all feel very strongly one way or another, whatever they feel about this.
Yes.
But people are sort of trying to figure out what his reasons for this would have been, because as you say, I guess he took a pay cut to go to LA, and according to both my coworkers and the internet, has somewhat made it harder for himself, I guess, to get a championship, which people think was the reason he wanted to go there.
Yes. I mean, but
I don't quite understand.
Man already owns 2 houses out there, so it would make sense that he would move. He's already got a place to live.
Well, and supposedly this was something to do with his family, and I guess his oldest child is now entering high school or something.
So he should be about two, yeah.
About to enter high school. But that he possibly would have had an easier time to get to the championship if he had stayed in Cleveland, because Eastern Conference versus Western Conference.
Yes.
Again, I don't watch sports, so I don't quite get that. Just, and also baseball is even more confusing because it's national and American and not even by directions. And just like, who decided on the way these things are broken down? Because I dislike you.
It wasn't me. And it might have involved beer.
Well, probably. But there's also the thought amongst a lot of people that he chose LA because he wants to get more into the movie business.
No, I hadn't heard that.
Well, so someone was talking about the fact that, I think it was LeBron, was somewhat envious when Kobe Bryant won his Oscar.
A lot of people, I think, were like, hey, we could do that.
Yeah, because that's so easy. So the thought that, you know, he would want to do that. And it's certainly if you are, you get a lot of endorsements also from being in the movie business, both like, you know, actual endorsements of you make a commercial, but then also like product placement endorsements.
Mm-hmm.
But that, I guess this is seen somewhat as a second career for a lot of people. For example, on the movie podcast, I talked about Uncle Drew, which stars, amongst other people, Shaquille O'Neal, who's done a couple of films.
Yes.
Even at the end of it, there's like these behind the scene things. And at one point, Shaquille O'Neal says to the camera, I've come a long way since Kazam. And I'm just thinking, have you though? I mean, actually, I kind of like Kazam because I was a child of that time and I saw it a lot on Disney Channel. And so kind of fun nostalgia feelings towards it. But I don't know that quality wise, Uncle Drew to Kazam. But anyways, that's the movie podcast. And I talked about it then. But this idea that for a lot of people, film is sort of a, once you can't play basketball anymore, what do?
It's your fallback career.
I wish film was my fallback career.
I know.
Well, my fallback career, I don't even have one. But if I had one, it would not be that awesome.
Certainly not going to make any kind of money. Like, because, you know, Kobe Bryant is now making more money than he made when he was playing basketball, and which is no small feat.
This is just all sorts of, I clearly don't know anything about sports people and money, sadness radiating in my heart. Not because I want to, but just because what I thought was like the scope of pay is nowhere near what the scope of pay is, and I feel even worse about myself.
Oh,
thanks, LeBron James. No, it's not LeBron James' fault, but this did get people this idea that, oh, he's moving to LA for the movie business, excited about what potential roles he could be in. And several people on social media were like, oh, does this mean we're going to get a train wreck too? I have not seen Trainwreck because on a previous episode of the movie podcast, when we talked about I Feel Pretty, I mentioned that Amy Schumer's sense of humor is not necessarily mine.
Right.
So I didn't even want to see Trainwreck, and I was amazed when I heard such wonderful things about it. He has a scene, evidently, in Trainwreck where he's playing himself and he's talking to, I do not even know who the male actor is, the main male actor. Bill Hader?
Hader?
Bill Hader.
That's who it looks like. I could be wrong.
Yes, Bill Hader. I'll double check that. He's talking to Bill Hader about, I'm not even sure what. And evidently for a lot of people, that was like the greatest scene in the movie.
Oh.
Which on the one hand, does that mean that's because LeBron was so awesome? Or is that saying something about the movie as a whole? Trainwreck, I think, was actually pretty successful. But again, my sense of humor and Amy Schumer's definitely different. But this now, people are like, I need a Trainwreck too, solely for LeBron James, and or make a film with like LeBron James and Bill Hader's character just buddying around or something. To which I'm like, really?
Buddy movie.
Well, I'm not against buddy movies, but, and again, I haven't seen this film. I'm like, was it that great of a scene? Because he's playing himself.
Tilda Swinton was in that movie? Holy buckets.
Like, it's not even he's playing a very funny character. He's playing essentially himself just being, I guess, silly. So mm-hmm. I'm just like, that was really, you all are so excited for LeBron James as people LeBron
really
James.
People really like LeBron. I mean, they love them some LeBron.
It's always funny to me. They play the Sprite commercial, Big Taste, in the movie theater. And it's always funny to me if there's someone in the audience who hasn't seen that commercial before and how much enjoyment they find out of it. Because I'm just like, really? But I've also seen that commercial, like,
even I've seen that commercial and I, right. You know, rarely get out.
I've also seen that commercial like way more than 25 times. So obviously, it's not as enjoyable to me anymore, but the fact that I'm like, you really like that commercial? Okay. I mean, I'm not going to say it wasn't interesting just because we do play again with the idea of reality. He looks a lot like LeBron James. Yes, he does, for a reason. So I guess that was sort of the same thing going on in Trainwreck is, that guy's a lot like LeBron James. It'll be interesting to see if this was his motive or one of his reasons for going to LA, how that will come in with him playing for the Lakers, because he did sign this deal, so he does actually have to play for the Lakers.
It's a guaranteed contract. He gets paid whether he plays or not.
Well, see, again, I am all sorts of wrong. I clearly do not understand A, sports in general, but B, the economics of sports. So I'm just going to stop talking about it because everything I say is evidently incorrect.
I'm probably only half right on what I'm saying because I, you know, just pick things up from the ether.
Right. So if we're all wrong, it's all Sarah's fault because I'm at least saying I have no idea and Sarah's correcting me as if she does know when she doesn't.
Yeah, sort of.
That's my life motto is just blame Sarah. So on that note, we're going to take another break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be, visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our third story for today And I'm amazed more so, not even that this is the story, than the reactions to this story, is that Mattel, who is the maker of the Barbie doll, has introduced a robotics engineer Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm saying that aloud, I'm really annoyed at the fact that that's how you always say it, is not a something-something Barbie doll, but just a something-something Barbie. Yeah. Miami Barbie and ballerina Barbie and robotics engineer Barbie. It's like, but why? You don't have to say... Okay, anyways. Moving on. So this...
I feel like Barbie doll would be redundant at that point.
But it's a whole nother cultural thing that we just won't go into today. So this is part of an initiative that Mattel made earlier this year to create more female role model Barbies. So they're creating 17 new dolls, promoting, I guess, Barbie and roles that you don't necessarily see women in, so that girls can, you know, not feel better about themselves, but feel the possibilities.
Right.
And this sounds like it would be a good thing. Like, they've actually, it's not just the Barbie doll itself, and why I still want to say doll with Barbie, I do not know, I apologize. But they've also partnered with Tinker and Black Girls Code,
mm-hmm.
because the idea is, hey, look, there's a Barbie who codes. I also want to code. Let me get on that.
Right.
And women are, you know, definitely underrepresented in STEM fields like robotics engineering. So that's why we have this whole thing. But people were, some people were like, this is great. And I wish I had had this when I was young. And other people were like, A, who cares? And or B, this wasn't necessary.
Hmm.
And that one throws me off. Because I'm pretty sure, like, it's a well-known fact that girls in general, but just like people... minorities are more likely to feel it's possible for them to do certain things if they actually see someone else like them doing it.
Yes.
So that if a girl sees, you know, a high-level scientist who's a woman, that's more likely to, if not get her into science, keep her in science than if the only, like, high-level scientists she sees are men.
Right. And you so often hear people of color say that.
Right.
You know, when I was younger, I didn't see myself in XYZ,
right,
name what it is. And so now I want to be that person for young girls.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, young people in general.
Like, I heard this a lot about the character of Uhura in Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
To see a black female in TV on a sci-fi television show was, you know, rather groundbreaking.
Yeah.
So I would have, that's where I thought, and I'm clearly, this is, you know, where Mattel was heading. This is a great thing, and we're inspiring young girls. But a lot of people were like, A, it wouldn't do that, or B, you didn't need to, because I already sort of did that with my Barbies. Someone made the comment of, you know, did you ever keep your Barbie the way it was? Like, if you had, and I did actually as a child have the gymnast Barbie doll, did you ever just keep her as a gymnast? Didn't you, you know, put her into a bunch of different situations where she could be everything? And I'm like, did you? Because
sure, but
Barbie sold a lot of different inter Barbies here, so
yeah. I mean, I don't, I'm trying to think of I had a lot more limited Barbies. they didn't have quite as many, but like, I'm looking at the pictures of the robotics engineering Barbie, and you know, she has safety glasses and she has a robot, and so there are props. And when I was little, you know, if I wanted to play Barbie as a certain thing, I would have wanted those
right.
things to, not that I didn't have an imagination, but I would have, I always liked to have the appropriate props right. for whatever Barbie was doing. So, you know, I like that she comes with safety glasses. I do have thoughts on her, but
well, for me, it wasn't so much that I needed the specific Barbie as I kind of needed at least the clothing. And they did used to totally sell just clothing sets without a Barbie doll.
Yes. Because, and they did that when I was younger too. So
yeah.
I'm not that old.
So you would put Barbie into her costume in order for her to be whatever. I also kind of wanted like the actual, like, you know, playhouse, but those were more expensive. So I accepted that was not going to be the case.
I had a Barbie Corvette. I don't even know how my parents didn't usually spend that much on stuff. I don't know how I got the Barbie Corvette, but I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
I remember we had it sort of folded into a, I want to say like a roll-on suitcase, but that wasn't it. And it was some sort of Barbie house. And I had to share it with my sister.
Aww.
But it stayed in my room because my room was bigger. And I remember I gave my sister, for one of my birthdays, I got two mermaid Barbies of the exact same kind.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my sister one. And I felt so proud of myself for being a nice sister.
Being so generous.
It's like, oh, see, I am actually a nice big sister. My sister would probably disagree. But
probably.
Anyways. So I'm amazed at people who didn't I have problems with the robotics engineer Barbie, just because are you sure she's an actual scientist? Because she looks sort of like a do it in your garage person. She is wearing a, like, not tie dye, but okay, a something denim jacket. I'm like, that's,
and she's wearing a crop top. I'm what? Sorry, but there's midriff showing.
Yeah, I'm just like,
that's the part that I have. Like, she does have safety glasses, but where is her more professional outfit?
Right, where is she working that she's wearing this outfit? And couldn't, if you wanted to do this, do I have to buy a whole Barbie doll? Couldn't you have just, like, as a child I'd had, just sold the clothing set? So now yeah, I can dress her up as...
with the laptop and the robot and...
Right.
Yeah, I agree. What I do like, as I'm looking at these, mm-hmm. is, and this doesn't have to do with robotics engineering Barbie, right. but there's the traditional Barbie with the, you know, the blonde hair and the blue eyes, but there's one with black hair, there's one with really, really red hair, like,
right.
What is that color?
Auburn?
Burgundy?
Magenta?
Yeah, something. And then there's a black Barbie, and she's got really great, like, fro hair,
right?
And I love that, because you know, again, for me growing up, we didn't have as much diversity in the Barbies, right. So I love that. But again, and that robotics engineer Barbie is represented in these different types of women, but again, the outfit would have,
well, see,
been
I
enough.
And maybe this is an age thing for me, because when I was a child, they did have the regular blonde Barbie, but they also had a black Barbie. And at some point in my childhood, I'm not sure if the whole time when I was playing with Barbies, they also had a Latino Barbie.
Hmm.
So I'm very much used to that. I'm not used to seeing the pictures of them all. And that's what I really like is, like, yeah, if you go to the store, you can find it, but we're not going to advertise that. I like the fact that in the advertisement, you have all of them. And actually, the first picture I saw for this was the black robotics engineer Barbie.
She's the one that pops up first on Google. But it usually you just see blonde Barbie doing whatever Barbie is doing.
Right. My question now, though, is, okay, you clearly have a Caucasian, a black, and a Latino. Is the one with the really, really red hair supposed to be Asian?
Or
you just don't
have
an Asian Barbie? Because if you don't have an Asian Barbie, you've now got a negative score all over for me again.
I'm sure there's an Asian Barbie. But
it's like, we're in the 20-teens. You should most definitely have an Asian Barbie by now. There's a whole nether slew of problems with Barbie that we won't get into because we don't have time for it on this episode. But at very minimum, you should have a Barbie for every at least of the main races. And actually, you know what? I'm going to demand at least one multiracial Barbie as well. Mattel totally listens to me. Because I am such a big, I am not a buyer of Barbie. I have not bought Barbie in
Well, and the other thing
years.
Is, you know, Barbie still has those issues that she's always had, as in very, very, very super skinny.
Her proportions don't actually make sense in real life. Yeah.
They've corrected those to a certain extent. I mean, I don't think she would fall over because of her breasts anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but still, she's not representative of most women in terms of body shape, regardless of whether she's representative of women's
period,
color, hair, all of that.
Well, now I'm wondering, is she still required that all her shoes be high heels? Because that used to bug me. The only Barbie I ever had that didn't require high heels was the gymnastics one. And all the others were always, you know, on their tiptoes. And I was just like, but why?
No, well, she comes on her tiptoes. Yeah. My Barbies all came on their tiptoes.
Yeah, exactly. Her feet were formed to always be in high heels.
So even if she had flats, she was still standing on her tiptoes.
Why aren't you in... Why do you... Again, multiple problems with Barbie. And maybe this is why this reaction was somewhat mixed. I think it's great for there to be more examples for young girls of I can do enter thing here, because a young girl should always be able to think I could do almost anything here.
Right.
I mean, you can't be like, you know, ruler of the galaxy. That's a whole nother thing.
I mean, probably not, but
please don't, just because that generally
that's usually
requires
bad.
You know, taking away other parts of the galaxy's rights, and we don't want to go there. We want everyone to have their rights. That let's all be friendly. But so yeah, so good, but for robotics engineer Barbie, the fact that we have to keep constantly saying robotics engineer Barbie. All the mini Barbies.
She is wearing tennis shoes, and she does not appear to be standing on her tiptoes.
Oh, bravo. So Barbie and Mattel, you're mostly there. I'll give you like a B score. Because, you know, again, Mattel totally listens to me.
Totally.
And on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.